Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Inspire Before We Expire show. I am your host, Terrell Sumter. Guys, I'm very grateful, thankful, and graceful to see another day that's never a promise. Ladies and gentlemen, as we start this show, I just want you to take some time to close your eyes, 10 to 15 seconds, and I want you to visualize, where do you see yourself in the next 2 months, guys? As we approach this new year, 2020, guys, it's time for new beginnings, guys. It's time to rise above the circumstances. It's time to put everything behind you that was just slowing you down during your journey and continue to put yourself in places where you're going to grow. Surround yourself around those that's going to help lift you higher. It's time to now take some time to look at it and know that everything around you is a blessing, that you are blessed, that you are grateful, that you are loved, that you matter, and that no matter where you may be, there's always room to grow, guys. And if you haven't already, I just want you to subscribe to Inspire Before We Expire show. Ladies and gentlemen, oh man, I have a very, very special guest on the show today. Oh man, this gentleman and I have been connected back and forth messages through time, you know, just keeping that positive energy going. And we finally set some time out to knock this interview out, and I'm proud to have him today. Man, this gentleman is a father first, husband first, is the founder, co-founder of, and chief operating officer at Influsive, and a writer at Forbes and Thrive Global. He's a two-time GTOYEA entrepreneur representing Canada and advisor to several businesses and entrepreneurs. Guys, coming out of Canada, I mean, gentlemen, listen, I want to introduce you to my guy, Mr. Clinton Seiko. Clint, how's it going today, man?
It's going good, man. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Appreciate it. Yeah, as you said in the intro, I really appreciate that. We've been going back and forth for a while, so it's great to finally be able to meet and you know, get this on the schedule.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for taking some time out your busy schedule to be here and be present today, man. Honestly, so I noticed your first time on the show, Clint. I just wanted you to really just dive us into your personal life, where your journey first started, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, so I'm from Canada, as you said. So I grew up a high level hockey player my whole life. I'm the youngest of five kids in my family. So I come from a very big family. I have a lot of older brothers, three older brothers, an older sister. And it was just a really busy household. And I was someone that when I played hockey, I always knew that there was more that I wanted to do. And obviously when I was younger and playing hockey at a high level, it was always the dream to go play pro and you know, play in the NHL one day. And I have, you know, many friends and teammates and stuff that are in the NHL or playing pro around the world and stuff, which is amazing. And where I am today, I dedicate a lot to that, to playing hockey and what I was able to do with the teams I played with and the people that I, became friends with and people that I learned from, whether it's coaches or other teammates. And so just playing high level sports, I just kind of translated that into getting involved with entrepreneurship. I got started in the tech and startup scene in Canada when I was about 21. I played junior A hockey across Canada for 3 years after high school. Lived in about four different provinces. Got traded a lot, and that was a really cool learning experience. Just living in different places and living with different people and traveling different places and. From that, I just parlayed it into really being able to focus on something else and see what happens after the game and after, you know, I'm done playing hockey. And so really, I always was fascinated by tech and startups and just, you know, starting my own business or being involved in a business at an early stage. So I started working in a few different startups and in sales and marketing type roles and business development and partnership style stuff. And then one thing led to another, and I was, you know, at different companies for different amounts of times, whether it was some companies for 3-4 months, some were for about a year. And then it just kind of parlayed into me becoming a writer somehow. I was always someone that I actually you know, your show is all about inspiration, and something that I like to share with people is I grew up a high level hockey player, classified, you know, maybe as a jock, someone that was always good at sports, and I love sports, and that was just always kind of my my focus. And I had a 51 in English 30, which you could have never paid me money to write an essay or a paper or anything. I was not a very good writer at all. I was always a good speller, but I just, my sentence structure, grammar, all that stuff was just never very good. And so it wasn't until I was in college where I started getting better marks on some of my on some of my papers and some of my essays, started getting a little bit of confidence. And then I actually came across a couple essay contests on Twitter, believe it or not, and I entered a few of them, and I won them. I was selected as some of the students that got to go to these conferences and meet these business professionals and people, and all-inclusive paid and all this stuff. And then I just kind of started getting more confidence again. It just started getting better marks and winning the essay contest, and started having more confidence in myself, and started writing more. And I actually originally started off writing online about hockey, believe it or not, because that was just really what I knew best. And still to this day, I have so much knowledge and experience when it comes to hockey, because I spent so much time and effort and energy, you know, in the game. But then I knew that it was time to kind of turn the page and focus on something different. And I knew that kind of the next page for me was entrepreneurship and business. And so that's when I started surrounding myself with the right people and learning about business and learning about entrepreneurship. And I went to school, I went to college and got a business degree as well. So it wasn't just like, this was just something randomly I wanted to do. So I went to school and did the whole business route. And then I just started writing, and one thing led to another. Started writing for the Huffington Post and Startup Grind, and then Brian and I met, which is our founder, CEO, my partner in Influensive, and we started the site in 2016 is what we like to say, about January 2016. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, ever since then, things have just kind of really taken off and led to this and that. And where we are today is we have over 500 writers from around the world. We get a couple million page views to the site per month. You know, I've been able to connect with amazing entrepreneurs and innovators and celebrities and influencers from all over the world, and worked with some really great brands on some great campaigns. And we've really created a hub for whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or whether you're aspiring to be an entrepreneur. People come to Influensive to learn about business, you know, how to start a business, maybe how to grow your business through Facebook, or, you know, how to use influencer marketing better, or how to, you know, start speaking on stages. There's so many different things and areas that Influensive can really teach you and educate you on. So, yeah, hopefully that provides you a little bit of aspect into my story of I started as an athlete, grew up in a large family. It just translated into being focused in tech and startups and working at different companies, and then just starting my own stuff. And it's kind of led me to where I am today.
That's awesome, man. I love it. I wanted us to take back some time, man. Honestly, just take it a little back. As you being an athlete, and, you know, as you're saying, you was a real dominant player with, you know, hockey was your passion. That was it for you. You planned on going big leagues someday. So when, what, like, if you can remember exactly that moment, when did you say that, man, I want to take the time from being an athlete to now being an entrepreneur? When did the transition happen exactly for you?
Just so we know, just to provide some backstory. So when I was in, I take everything that I've learned from hockey and then I parlay it into business. And it's kind of like, I have the same sort of mentality as I did in hockey as I do. So when I was a hockey player, I was always like I was a grinder. I was not a goal scorer. I wasn't an offensive guy. I was always someone that was the hardest worker on the ice, hardest worker on the team. That's what I want to be known for. I'm someone that always would just do whatever he could to make sure that, you know, I got the job done or do it as in, there was never lack of work ethic on my end. That was always you know, who I was. But it was probably around my third year of college. So I was on a scholarship at college playing hockey as well for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And it was into my third year, my third season, where I kind of, it was actually where I also met my wife, that that's when I kind of realized in my life that, you know, hockey's been such a huge point of everything for me, but I know there needs to be something else. You know, I didn't really focus on my grades much in my first 2 years. I was just more focused on hockey and enjoying college life and all that. And it was my third year where I kind of said, you know what, like, I want to actually put a little bit more effort in my classes, into school, just into myself. You know, what is it that I want to get involved with, you know, outside of hockey? And it just kind of led me down this path to getting involved in tech and getting involved in entrepreneurship and everything, you know, startup related. And that's when I started kind of investing in myself a little bit more. That's mm-hmm. when I started, you know, changing some of my habits. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it this early on. Can't remember exactly when it happened, but I don't think, like, don't get me wrong, I don't think video games are like bad for you and stuff, but I was someone, when you grew up playing sports and playing hockey, I love video games. I was always something I always played. It was always something that I continued to kind of just do in my off time and whatever. And, you know, sometimes probably I played too much video games and I should have been focusing on other things. But one of the biggest kind of shifts that I also had kind of in my own personal development and skill development and just business in general was I actually sold my PlayStation 4 it was my PlayStation 3 to my brother. I had a whole whack of games, had a whole bunch of controller, like super cheap, like $50, $100 or something. I sold it to him. Reason being, and this was probably about 4, maybe 5 years ago now, I sold it to him because I knew that I needed to start changing my habits and focusing on different things. And what I started to do, the things that I started investing in, was books. I started investing in books more. You know, I have bookshelves of all the top books, and I love reading books. I love increasing my knowledge, how to grow, you know, a better business, how to build bigger business, how to be more purposeful, you know, how to be healthier, whatever it is. And I sold my PlayStation because it wasn't that it was a bad thing. It was one of those temptations that I feel like we have, like, in our life sometimes, that we kind of do and we just resort to that. And I knew that I needed to get rid of it. And that was a huge, huge shift for me. So I'd say those are the two things, is when I realized, hey, hockey is, you know, kind of not the end all be all. I need to focus on something else. It was around my third year of college. And then also kind of like after that is when I was like, hey, I need to change my environment a little bit and get rid of things that, you know, aren't necessarily like making me get to where I want to be in life. And that's when I got rid of my PlayStation. And then I started investing more in books and programs and just kind of surrounding myself with, you know, self-development and really expanding my skill set.
Honestly, I love that. That's amazing, man. As you said, you started to read more books and everything of that nature. So what was that one book that you really read that you felt like was a change in your journey?
Yeah. Honestly, I think one of the main ones that really had a big impact on me was School of Greatness. Okay. Lewis Howes. So School of Greatness by Lewis Howes. It was a really cool book because, I, you know, saw him as, you know, this figure that was playing, he actually played sports too. So I could really relate to a lot of his story. He played sports and then, got injured and ended up kind of going down this other path and getting into webinars and online business and marketing and kind of influencer and, just greatness. I just love the whole aspect of just what he stands for and just also just talking about greatness. I've always been someone that just holds myself to a high standard and I always want to achieve greatness. So if I can learn from others that have went down a similar path or that are going down a similar path or that have already done something that I want to achieve, then I definitely want to, you know, surround myself with those types of people or learn from them. So that's where really with Lewis Howes' book, that was probably one of the first stepping stones. Mm-hmm. But I have so many books that have been amazing. And I think the way that I like to say it to people is it's not about the amount of books that you read. It's about the amount of books that you read that you actually put into action from the stuff that you learn from those books. So I see people all the time saying, oh, I read, you know, 5 or 10 books this month. That's great. Well, how much of the actual information and tips and tricks that you read in those books are you actually putting into implementation in your life or in your business? That's what matters the most to me. So I'm not about, you know, reading as many books as possible just so I can say I read so many books. If your mind can process all that information and you're actually putting some of that into action, then good for you. That's amazing. But I know myself, I like to kind of slow things down a little bit and really focus on the books and really start putting some of those things into action. I think if you can take, you know, one or two things from every book you read, that adds up to a lot of, you know, a lot of change in your life or your business and can really be, you know, a huge, huge difference maker.
Absolutely. So I wanted to really get into, you know, because I have a lot of young men listening right now, athletes mm-hmm. as well, young athletes in high school and college and then beginning in their college years. And, you know, they may think that just being an athlete is just that. What is some advice you would give to them, you know, along that journey of really some steps to take to really just seeing more, being more and really doing more outside of just being an athlete?
Yeah. I think that's a great question. And honestly, it's something that I can constantly think about more. And I think honestly, the biggest advice that I have is, you know that you can't play your sport for forever. Things can happen in a flash, especially if you're playing a physical sport. But in all honesty, it doesn't matter what sport you're playing. Most of them will have some sort of physical aspect. You could have a career-ending injury. Something could happen where, you know, if it all was to go to nothing tomorrow, what do you have? What do you have to fall back on? Take some of those skills and take some of those relationships that you built in sport and translate that into something else. You know, what is it that you want to do with your, what do you want to be known for? What do you believe in? What do you value in life? And I think one of the best things that you can do is if you have somewhat of an idea, or even if you don't have an idea of what you want to do after sport, surround yourself with people that you want to be like. Find a mentor, find an advisor. If you want to start a business one day and you're playing college sports right now, well, you should be, you know, connecting yourself with the, you know, the entrepreneur that's 5-10 years ahead of you, that has a business, that has, you know, the things in life that you value or you want. And you should be learning from them. You should be, you know, providing value to them. You should be asking them and saying, hey, like, could I meet you for lunch or breakfast, you know, once a month and, you know, just sit and chat. And, you know, I'd love to, you know, learn how you became who you are. You know, just being friendly and building that bond and that relationship, I think is really, really powerful. So that's something that I would say. And I'm someone, just to provide context on that, I'm someone that in life, I don't regret anything I've done. You know, I don't like to live with regrets. So I like to just do things. So the way that I like to tell people is you don't know unless you ask, right? So if you, you know, see someone ahead of you, or you see someone doing something that you're really curious about, or you just don't know how they're doing what they're doing, well, ask them. You never know. The worst that someone can say is no. So, you know, try not to be so hesitant. And especially if you're a student, you're an athlete, it's best to start now and start today than start, you know, in 2 years or 5 years and 10 years, right? That's the only thing that I kind of look back on. And I'm like, oh, wow, I wasted so much time. I didn't necessarily waste it. I, you know, had some amazing experiences and some great times with some great people that I'll always cherish forever. But there's times when I look back and I'm like, oh, wow, you know, if I would have, you know, started reading books earlier, or hey, if I would have started my website sooner, or, hey, if I would have started selling my services, you know, quicker, easier, you know, I would have been so much farther ahead than I am right now, right? So it's like, surround yourself with the types of people that you want to be like, or that are at places in their life or their career that you want to be, and try to start as early as you can. It doesn't mean that you have to know what you want to do, because as athletes, we always think that we're just going to be in our sport forever, right? Start looking beyond that. Start opening up your eyes a little bit and thinking, what do you want to do with your life? And I think we live in one of the greatest times, in the world, where we can really turn our passions into amazing lives and into amazing businesses, right? So I think there's a ton of potential out there to really capitalize on that for athletes.
I love that, man. That's awesome. As you spoke of, just really surrounding yourself, finding those right people, getting in the right room, getting in a room with the right people and everything. And most importantly, every mentor has a mentor, right? So who would you say along your journey and along the process of becoming who you are, who would you say the most influential, person that you've had along your journey, man, that's really helped you apply some real principles into your life to guiding you to be the leader you are today?
I think really there's two people, and one of them is honestly my business partner at Influensiv, so our founder, CEO. So I know this is something that I did, early on. So I worked with a few different startups and tech companies, and a few of them actually today are very, very successful. One of them sold for a lot of money. Another one raised a whole lot more money than when I was with the company. And so they're both, success stories. It was amazing to work with them at such early stages. And then Influensiv came. And at the time when Influensiv came around, Brian is a very successful entrepreneur himself. He's been a successful entrepreneur for over 15, 20 years now. Mm. I knew when Influensiv, when there was that opportunity that presented itself, I knew that by building that bigger relationship, by providing value, by aligning myself in those same areas as Brian and really just learning from him, I knew there was going to be a ton that I could learn from him. And he's really helped shape a lot of my mindset around business and helped me in different areas. And that's where we've really been able to make a great team, because I've been able to help him in different areas as well, and provide some aspect on things that he didn't have before. So that's where it's really translated into obviously a really great friendship and a really great partnership in business. But he's definitely someone that, I call a friend, I call a mentor, I call a business partner, I call it all, because that's really what he is, to me. So I'd really probably credit a lot of things over the last 3-4 years, definitely with learning from people like Brian, and other people that I've been able to meet or surround myself with over the last few years.
Indeed. That's most important too, is learning from those at a place that you desire to get to.
Totally.
So I love that you touched on that as well. And shout out to Brian as well. I love that you mentioned relationships, and I heard you say that quite a few times so far during this interview. What is it like to build a real genuine relationship, outside and personal and business? Clint, if you can go through that.
I think so many people in this world, whether it's in business or whether it's personally, we're so selfish. And people are always thinking of themselves. They're always thinking of, what can I get out of it? What is it good for me? And I think one of the greatest things that you can do as a person is you can enter a relationship by being valuable. If someone sees that you're a valuable person, or you're doing something that can help them, or you're doing something that can push them in the right direction, or whatever it is, to live a healthier life, to grow their business, to help their business in some area that they're lacking, or whatever it is, you're going to be someone that's memorable. They're going to remember you, right? And relationships are so huge. So I've always been a very value-driven person, and I think it's all about providing value and being someone that is valuable to other people. Because if you're in a valuable person, it's really, really great to it's just a positive, it creates a positive atmosphere, right? And I think when it comes to relationships, I'm so big in relationships, because in life we're surrounded by people all the time. We should be. And it's important for us to be surrounded by other people, and learn from them or help them. And I think in life, obviously you've heard it lots of times before, but your net worth is your network. So if you can build really genuine connections with people, you can really, see the value in them and they can see the value in you. You know, it's a give and take relationship. It can go really, really far in life. So that's what I think is really good with, you know, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a, you know, best a friendship, whether it's a business. I think it's really, really important to really have that give and take dynamic, and just be value driven.
I love that, man. Honestly, cause you're right. You know, most people, they are afraid to like just step out that comfort zone, you know, and really connect with some real good people, because you just never know somebody until you really sit down and have that conversation. And something I really go by is one conversation can change the communication. So I'm glad you was able to go through. So people that's listening from the Inspire Before We Expire, please take in and implement and build relationships, people, personal and outside and professional as well. Clint, I want to dive into Influsive, man. I want to dive into it. Where did the name first establish, man? And what was the process like of really building your company, man?
Influensive was, it was started, Brian bought the domain several years ago, wasn't doing anything with it. It honestly started as a personal blog. He was a successful entrepreneur. He was kind of scared of writing. And he really wanted to get on all these other platforms and, didn't really have I guess the writing background to kind of get in these. They were, all these other platforms were hiring like journalists and communications majors and stuff. So he really wanted to kind of just create his own thing. So he created Influensive and started just writing on it himself. And then he reached out to his immediate network asking for if there was any other writers that wanted to contribute to the platform. And I was one of the first few writers that started writing. And after I wrote two articles, I saw how fast everything was growing. I saw the potential in the brand. Obviously loved the name, loved everything that we were standing for. And at that time, it was just Brian. And I knew that there's areas that I could bring to the team. So that's when him and I partnered together and have been, you know, two of the main driving forces behind it today in our army of writers and people that, you know, our community that supports us and shares and comments on articles and all that. But it's been a roller coaster, just like every business, right? It has its ups and downs. The way that, you know, Brian will always say it is, you know, he's a 15-year overnight success. Things don't happen, overnight. They don't happen right away. I'm someone that's been in business for 10 years and I don't, you know, see myself. I haven't even touched, even close to the potential that I want to get to, and I haven't impacted half as much people as I want to either. There's so much more still to do, and there's so much more that we can carry and capture and really do for others and really just provide to people. But no, it just really started as kind of a passion project, started as a blog, and then just really kind of turned into a really big media company that has a community of millions of people around the world.
And what do you feel like, as you spoke of ups and downs, because that's what I like to dive into to just help our younger listeners learn more about the process. So what do you feel like that one event that may occur, man, that just really turned everything around along this process of building Influsive with Brian and everything like that? Like, if you can really dive deep into that, Clint, I'll really appreciate that. Show us my listeners.
Yeah. Honestly, there's always tons of different things that, come up. Whether it's, issues on your website and then you have to figure it out and, you know, something goes down, or, there's tons of articles you got to write and there's other articles you got to edit. And, you know, we didn't have a content team. We didn't, you know, have enough revenue to, you know, do it. So we were doing it, and it's really, it just kind of comes down to, in business, the longer I'm in it, the more that I realize that there's going to be a ton of ups and downs. It's just, I'm more seasoned now. I'm more experienced that I know it's inevitable that these things are going to happen. It's just how you deal with them and how you, you know, move on to the next thing. And that's, you know, one of the greatest things I've learned from Brian and other, you know, mentors that I have in my life is not getting derailed by the negative things or, you know, the tough times, whether it's, you know, someone asking for a refund, you know, from your services or your product, or, someone trying to belittle you or whatever it is, right? It's not taking those to heart and really letting them define you. It's what are you going to do after that? What is that going to force you to do? How are you going to do things differently? How are you going to be better next time? How can you learn from this and apply it to, you know, the future and really move on? And I think that's what I've really learned through this whole entire process of, you know, just being in business is things are going to happen, whether they're good, whether they're bad, whether they're awesome, whether they're not so good. And it's all about kind of, I learned this from sports, is really kind of I like to keep an even keel. I don't like to get really, really excited where I just kind of like lose focus of, you know, where I want to go and what I'm trying to do. But then if something really bad happens, I don't want to get too down on myself, where I feel defeated, where I can't go on anymore. I like to stay in the middle. I like to keep that even keel. And I think that's really important, you know, aspect to have as an entrepreneur, because like I said, it's a roller coaster. You won't hear any other entrepreneur, successful business owner in the world say that they haven't went through their ups and downs. It's the ones that don't give up. It's the ones that continue to go on the ride that, you know, continue to be that success story one day. So, if you're going through a tough time right now, just don't let it be the defining point in your life or in your business. Find a way to get through it. Find a way to move on. Find a way to, you know, do that next thing or to learn from it and, you know, apply your next product, your next service, or whatever it may be. But it's just really about keeping that even keel and not getting too excited or getting too low.
And how do we grow from the experience, and how do we become more consistent?
How do you become more consistent, did you say?
Yes.
In all honesty, I think it just has to do with persistence. I think it's a mindset thing. How do you become more consistent? It's, you know, keeping schedules. If you want to be successful in whatever it is that you want to do, it doesn't matter if you want to be a professional athlete one day, whether you want to be a doctor, you know, whether you want to be a business owner. It's about that mindset of I can do it and I'm going to do whatever I can to make it happen. And whoever has the most persistence is always the one that ends up on top. And when I say that is, you know, you're going to hear these, I hear these stories all the time about, you know, professional hockey players, and the best ones in the world is, you know, they were 8 or 9 or 10 year old kids that were out at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, shooting pucks for, you know, 30 minutes or 60 minutes a day before they had to go to school. And then people look at them, when they're 18, 19, 20 and the best players on the ice, and they're like, how are these kids this good? Or how are they're so good. And well, in the end, they put in more time, they put in more, more practice. They've brushed up on their skills. You know, you'll hear that from doctors, you know, the best doctors, or, you know, the best surgeons, the best, whatever, you know, people out there, is they put in their time. They go to school for 10, 15 years. There's a reason for them, you know, to be so good. They have to be so good. They put in the experience, they paid their dues, you know, to get them to where they are today. And I think, you know, that persistence issue is something that I feel is a real problem in today's society, is because so many people choose to give up. So many people can't endure pain. So many people cannot go through a struggle. They think that they go through one struggle and they think that's the end of them. And then, I got to go on to something else. And that's it. But the ones that, you know, don't take that, that take no for an answer, and really find a way to push through, are the ones that end up on top, or the ones that, you know, end up being those success stories. And people always ask, how did you become a success? It's the people that didn't give up. It's the people that continue to push through. So, I think that's, you know, one of the most important things is if you want to be consistent, is you gotta keep pushing through. You gotta keep finding a way to make it happen. And the people that find a way to make it happen are the ones that, you know, end up on top.
Powerful, powerful. I love it. I wanted to take some time, Clint, which I do each and every interview, man, just to show some gratitude, man, towards you for devoting time to be on the show today, honestly, man, bringing it from our conversation before going on air to now, man. I know so many people going to receive so much value from this, from personal, from being an athlete to being a successful entrepreneur, but also knowing that you went through rock bottom, you hit rock bottom various times and things of that nature. So I really wanted to take some time to thank you, man, today for really being here as we continue the show, man, honestly.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I you continue to hear that from people. Like I've said, is it doesn't matter if it's, you know, the top athletes, it's top celebrities, you know, that whether they're actors or actresses or, you know, the top entrepreneurs of our time, when you can really understand their stories and understand kind of what they went through. And, you know, I forget some of the stories, but like there's some professional, like top actors in Hollywood that, you know, were waiting tables until they were 40. And it was 41 when they got their big break and became this big movie star. And now they're like Tom Hanks or something. Right. And it's like, there's a lot of those stories that happen, but if you think about it, it's, they were 41. Most people right now, if you're listening to this and you're 40, you're like, oh, I'm too old, I can't start a business, or, oh, I'm too old, I can't do this. Or, hey, you're making an excuse because you can't do something. Those people didn't give up. Those people continued to push through. They still, you know, worked that job. They still went to those auditions. They still, you know, had that burning desire inside of them that, you know, they knew that they had something to give. They really knew that they deserved something in life and they weren't going to take no for an answer. And they kept working through it. And, you know, they're a huge, massive success story today. So that's what I really want people to get out of this is, if you're not willing to endure pain, you are going to have a hard time being successful, because in order to be successful one day, you're going to have to go through pain. There's going to be times that are going to be very, very tough. And the ones that can endure pain and can go through the hard times, are the ones that, you know, really do, end up being success stories one day.
So true. I love that, man. And I love that you say you have to endure pain, you know, because the pain is never permanent. It's only temporary. And we have to learn that sometimes that pain turned into our purpose.
Totally.
It allowed us to become more persistent, right? As you said, you know, I love that word, man, persistent, because it shows no matter what you go through, to never give up, people. Like Clint said, he made a great example, is it don't matter if you're 40 or 50, man, it's never too late.
No.
You know,
never too late.
It's never too late to really start over and really do what you you desire to do to get to where you need to get to, but be more passionate about it. You know, do it with a passion, not do it at all. So I think, and now, man, just building this successful brand, this business, man, traveling the world, speaking at events and things of that nature, man. What are you like really, really most proud of, man, while really just, you know, in this space that you're in today, man, and knowing that you still have a lot more work to do? Like, what are you mostly proud of?
I'm proud of with what we've built at Influensive. We've really been a value-driven company from a very beginning stages, and we still are today. We're never going to be we're never going to be like a lot of other old traditional media companies that are making the reader's experience for their readers, you know, terrible, where there's millions of ads popping up because they're just more focused on the almighty dollar when they're not even really caring about, you know, the millions of people that are coming to their site to, you know, to spend their time on their site, to read their materials or interact with their materials. So we've always thought unconventionally, and being different than others. And we really want to be conscious of our readers, of our, you know, fans, of our followers around the world. And we always want to make sure that they can rely on us to be, you know, a top resource to come to for information around business, around entrepreneurship, you know, learning from success stories and stories of failures from top entrepreneurs and top celebrities and influencers and, you know, people that we have in our direct network. It makes me proud to have my name alongside Influensive and seeing what we've built, because I feel really good about it. And I've quit projects in the past that, you know, I've kind of been an advisor or worked in other capacities with, because I came to the realization that it wasn't what I loved. It wasn't what I felt super, super passionate about. I didn't feel, you know, it wasn't an industry that I loved, but I love the industry that we are in, whether it's, you know, whether you classify it as, you know, online entrepreneurship or, you know, digital marketing or online media or whatever it is. I think we live in such an amazing time today where you can build a business and you can have team members from around the world. I'm in Canada, Brian's in LA. We've built this completely remote. I see Brian a few times a year. But there's no excuses for anyone listening to this saying, oh, there's limitations, or, you know, we all have computers in our pockets. We all have phones. You know, phones are our number one thing. There's no excuses as to saying, you know, I can't connect with so-and-so, or I have to only do business in Philadelphia, right? You don't have to just do business in Philadelphia. You live there, sure, but there's things called social media that you can go on and interact with people all over the world. You can get access to anybody through your phone or through a computer. You can go to a public library and use their computer to start, you know, a business. Like there's no excuses. It's really, what are you going to endure to get to where you want to get to, right? And that's where it comes back to that pain aspect. You know, it's sometimes not going to be super easy. It's not going to be super convenient to, you know, if you don't have a computer, or you don't have this phone, or you don't have this, but there's a lot of different alternatives, and there's a lot of options that you can do and you can use, right? So.
That's powerful, man. I love that. Honestly, you're right, because that's the power of social media, you know, the power of connecting, the power of humanity and what we bring to a community, and not always what people bring to us.
Exactly. So,
I wanted to ask, because I know you did many stories, man, and I love to just dive into that as well, is what was those top three that you really, really just intrigued you most? The connection was there, and you just knew this was like, man, this is something that you sometimes look at throughout the days out your week, and you like, man, this story here was just so powerful and just impacted so many people. Just those, the very top three that you would say.
So you mean like of like articles that like I've written on different people and that I've met? Well, one that I did this year, which was really awesome. It was really genuine, was Tony Hawk. Okay. So I met Tony Hawk and sat down with him for about 15, 20 minutes and just chatted with him and asked him a couple simple questions. And I published that article up on our site and on Influensive. And, that was something that was really powerful, because I grew up, obviously being a video gamer. I played the video games of Tony Hawk, like what kid didn't. And it was cool to be able to sit down with someone like that, who was very humble, that was very, you know, quiet. You could just sense it from him. Just chatting with him for, even if it was only 5 minutes, you could just tell that he was someone that was super, super talented in his field. And it was never about the fortune. It was never about the fame. It was, that stuff just came with it. And ultimately he would still, like, he still skateboards today. He's, you know, 40 or 50 years old, you know, and he still skateboards today, and he's still amazing and all that stuff. So it was really cool to just kind of get his aspects on business and entrepreneurship. He's focused more on like business, and he has a foundation and stuff now. So that was a really cool one. Another one, that I've done, which was obviously pretty cool, was to just learn a little bit more, was Jordan Belfort. So the Real Wolf of Wall Street. So I did an article on him a few years ago as well. And got some kind of sales insights from him, because obviously what person hasn't watched the movie, Wolf of Wall Street. So that was another cool one. And then I'd probably say the other one, was I did, an interview with, one of the CEOs of one of the Virgin companies that Richard Branson owns. So he's actually basically business partners with Richard Branson. And he is like a Hollywood producer and director. He was, and now he's kind of more focused on Virgin festivals and events that they're running, because they run some really, really massive, huge, successful events around the world. And just hearing their stories. And this is what I like to say, is like, oh, it's cool. Like, yeah, like I named off, you know, three huge, massive, you know, celebrity, personal, you know, public figures, people that are out there. But they all went through struggles, you know, at one point. Like, it's not like they were, you know, they were gifted everything in life. It wasn't like they just, you know, their family all had it. For the most part, most successful people didn't have what they have today, and that's why they wanted to work, you know, day and night, you know, for their whole life to get what they wanted, is because they didn't experience that, right? And that's where I get my hustle, and where I get my drive, is I want to provide for my family. I want to give my boys experiences that I never had. I want to give them things that I never was able to endure, you know, in my early years, or that I never experienced. Like that's what drives me, is I want them to have things that I never had. And I think that's just kind of how parenting goes, is when you do become a parent, you want to provide for your family, but you also want to provide things that you didn't have for them. So I think those probably were three that were, you know, pretty cool to people to meet.
Amazing. Shout out to all three of them, man, as well. And it's great that you got to connect with them guys too, man. Because, you know, we see them on TV, we see them from afar, but to be up close and actually get to know the real them, it's a bitter feel, like a bittersweet feel, like it's a priceless feel, you know? So, hey, Clint, if you can just get the people, just the website, then they can go ahead and go on Inclusive and look at the stories, the articles, get the feel of your company and everything like that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. We'll make sure that the website's influensive.com, INFLUENCIVE.com. And yeah, would love to just stay in touch with anybody. I'll also share a link with Terrell here, with the show that we'll link in, that that you can visit, you know, if you want to get any more information or you want to stay connected. But it's been really awesome being on the show with you today.
Absolutely, man. We're not finished just yet, but I want to dive into fatherhood, man. You know, I think that's a big part too of your journey and of your tremendous growth and the success that you have today. So, man, you got two twins, man.
I do.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's a dream come true.
Yeah, man. So if you could just dive in the importance of really being a father now, man, and stuff like that, man, to young fathers out there as well who just trying to just – not balance, but just really stay on track and stay focused, man, because they're trying to focus on other things while also being a father. That'd be valuable, brother.
Yeah. Honestly, I think, so I'm someone that I don't really believe in like work-life balance type stuff, because I think it's just life, right? I think you choose to what you want to focus on in life and what's important to you and what you value. So I've always wanted kids. No word of a lie. I've basically manifested twin boys from a very young age. I've wanted twin boys my entire life. Reason being is growing up, you know, I watched some of my brothers play sports and they'd play against twins on hockey and stuff. And I just thought in my head, like, that would be so cool to, you know, have twin boys one day, because then I could have them on the same sports team or they're playing on the same line or whatever it is, right? Like that would just be super cool and special. So, this is something that my wife knew even before we even knew, that we were having twins, and, you know, past girlfriend, whatever it is. Like this has been something that, you know, my entire life I've always wanted. So it's a dream come true. So it's not, I think when it comes to parenting, I think parents have a different mindset whether you want a kid and your person ends up pregnant, or whether you're, you know, someone that actually, you know, so that, let me break this down. So I think you're different as a parent, whether you like want kids and you're planning to have kids, or whether you somehow become a father, become a dad, become a mom, whatever. And it's kind of like a huge surprise. So it was a huge surprise, obviously, to have twins, and it's huge to carry, and there's a lot of different things to figure out. But I have a different mindset of a parent because I've wanted twins and I've wanted that, and I know I'm ready for it and all that stuff, versus someone that, oh my gosh, I'm a dad now. What am I going to do? I don't know anything or whatever. Just so everyone knows, I never read a book. I never did nothing. I'm just someone that just figures it out. I've always wanted to be a dad. It's just who I am. It's in my nature to do that, and it's obviously a huge blessing, and I love it, and it's a part of my day. I love being with my boys. I love being with my family and hanging out with them, or you know, spending quality time or doing cool things with them or just playing with the boys is fun. It's obviously not easy all the time. There's stressful days and tough times and a lot of different things you need to figure out when things happen, but I love it. It's something that's just a part of my life, and I'm thankful for it and appreciative for it, because If there was someone that was gifted with twin boys that could handle it, I think it was me and my wife. We make a great team, and we both enjoy it. And I know that it's going to be a lot of fun raising twins and just kind of continuing to see them grow and you know, see how they interact with the world. And it's a lot of fun being a dad.
Indeed, indeed. And shout out to Rachel as well, your lovely wife. You guys are a great team, man. I see it from afar and just know that you guys are traveling the world with the young ones, man. I be seeing you guys just posting on the mountains and places, every, you know, just, and it's like you guys don't even make you guys social media about you no more. It's about the little ones. And that's when you know you're really still growing. You're really still making tremendous transformation. You're still developing into a better, better you, because it's not about you no more. It's just about these little ones too.
Yeah.
Becoming a family and a team, like you say, I think that's important. So those that's listening right now, man, please take in and take notes if you are a parent or so like that, because it's always good to really stay and do together, you know.
Totally.
I wanted to ask Clint, what is something you're teaching the boys right now that you want them to inherit when they get older? Like something you guys are really going through with them day by day, so when they get older, they can really, really be able to apply this to their life.
Honestly, I think one of the things that I hope our boys are, just because of the fact that there's two of them, and you know, they have a best friend for life, really is a huge, awesome, you know, thing to have as a parent is I really want our kids to really be good around other people. And I want them to be, you know, gentle, kind, amazing people I want them to interact with other kids and other adults, you know, in a genuine way and in a good way. Because in all honesty, it's not just one of them, you know, there's always two of them. And I think that's really gonna hopefully help them with when they're, you know, in a crowd of 10 other kids. You know, they're gonna know how to interact with them, they're gonna know how to talk to them. You know, when they're in big crowds of people, you know, I want them to really just be able to be, I'm not saying like arrogant or anything like that, but I just want them to be able to handle those situations. So I really want them to be just good kids, good people. And honestly, I think at 14 months old, there's not a whole lot you can teach your kids. It's just really, you know, as the days kind of go by and new things happen, where you just kind of deal with it. but yeah, there'll definitely be, a lot of things as they get older that we'll want to teach them and kind of fill them in on. But definitely, I think I just want them to be good people, and they can choose, you know, what they want to do in life or the path that they want to take. But, you know, as long as they're good people and they're respectful and they're nice and they're kind, you know, those are the most important aspects, I think, as a parent that, you know, I want for my kids.
I love that, man. That's beautiful, man. Well said. What's the two little ones' names, man? If you don't mind.
Emerson and Oakley.
Okay. Unique.
Yeah.
Unique and dope.
Yeah. We wanted them to be unique, but not like too far out there. I knew they weren't going to just be like a Matthew or whatever, like just a common name. I obviously don't really have a common name either with Clinton. Like I barely know Clintons. It's pretty intense when you actually have to name other humans that you bring into the world. It's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of thinking that goes into it, because as a parent, you're thinking, oh, like, you know, what's going to be a nickname, you know, for them? What could be a nickname? Or, you know, I hope there's no like funny word that they're going to be called when, you know, in school, or, you know, it can't be a name that kids are going to pick on them with. Right. So like, these are actually things that you think about as a parent. So,
indeed. I also seen on your page, man, you wrote a letter to your little ones too. So I thought that was beautiful, man. I read it myself. So people,
nice. When
you go on his website, you can also see that he wrote a letter to his boys last year, right before they came into this world or so.
Yeah, we can link that to the article, or we can link that to the interview or whatever too, if you think if that would be, you know, to everyone listening, if you think that'll be you know, something that you want to dive a little bit deeper into. But yeah, I thought it would be something special to kind of do and different, because it's something that will always you know, live on forever. So I hope I'm excited for when they read it one day, and whenever they learn how to read, I guess.
Yeah. Indeed. Nah, that's beautiful, Clint. Clint, I wanted to ask, man, I know you touched on so much today. I just want to give you some room to share something that you haven't got to share in an interview or just in general on any event, just something with the people, man. I'm just going to let you have the space for just a minute or two or so and just share something, man, with the people, something powerful they can take in and remember 10 years from now.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think the most important thing is if you want to be somewhere in life or you want to start a business, you need to go surround yourself with people that have businesses. You need to go surround yourself with people that are in places that you want to be, right? If you want to, you know, be a good mom one day or be a good dad, then go surround yourself with other dads. Go surround yourself with other moms, right? Like, I think there are no excuses to not surround yourself with the right types of people nowadays. And I think as you get older, as you get more mature in life, the circle gets smaller, but it gets more important. And that's what really I do is I don't, there aren't like, I've changed a lot of different types of friends. I have some, you know, that I've had my entire life. But I also, have had to make some tough decisions, you know, in my life where I noticed there were friends that I was friends with for a very long time that were not interested in the same things as me, that didn't make me feel good when I, you know, talked to them and, you know, they were complaining about money and they're complaining about bills and, well, that didn't make me want to strive for more. That didn't make me want to, you know, reach the heights that I want to reach because I have high standards for myself. It didn't create that environment for me to want to be better. It didn't create that environment for me to, you know, want to strive for more, right? It just made me kind of have that complacent kind of like, whatever, like this is good or my life is fine, even though it could be better, but it's like so-so. So I think the most important thing, you know, is you need to surround yourself with people that make you feel good about yourself, that respect you as a person, but also are doing things that, you know, you want to do, or, you know, you want to learn from them or you respect them in some shapes or forms. And that's where, you know, when it comes down to it, it's your choice. Mm-hmm. Your time is your choice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to be somewhere in life, sometimes you need to get rid of people, or doesn't necessarily mean like, hey, like you're not my friend anymore, but it also means like, hey, you're not going to hang out with so-and-so as often as maybe you do right now, because they're not putting you in the right headspace or they're not pushing you in the right direction to get you to where you want to be. Right. So, your time is your energy. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to surround it with the right types of people. And sometimes the decisions are not easy. So, just take that in consideration, of where you are in your life right now and where you want to be. And I think that should help you, you know, get you to the finish line, or at least, you know, push you in the right direction.
So true. My last question for the day, man. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for diving into that. I think also you got to remove yourself from those who no longer serve you no more.
Honestly, totally.
Energy is everything. So I thank you for really
100%.
Diving in. 100%. So when it's all said and done, what do mostly Clinton Cinco want to be remembered for?
Honestly, I want to be remembered as someone that, you know, inspired other people, that, you know, showed that you can do things that people didn't even know were possible. I want you to, I want people to see, that life really doesn't have any limits unless you set limits for yourself. I've always been someone that continues to have crazy opportunities and really cool things that happen, or cool trips, or all these crazy things that have happened. But, you know, have I been 3 months late on paying a power bill? 100% I have. Mm-hmm. You know, have I lived through those tough times? 100% I have. You know, it's not like it's come easy. It's just because I'm staying the course. I know that I haven't, you know, got to where I want to be in life, and I'm not going to stop until I get there. So keep that in mind, when you're listening to this, or when you're getting out there in the real world, is we all go through our struggles. Everyone's going through something, usually at, whether it's now or whether it's in the past or whether it's going to happen in the future. It's just what you choose to do with that. Are you going to use that as fuel, or are you going to use that as an excuse? Mm-hmm. And I'm someone that I don't like complaining. And I want to turn those excuses into fuel. I want to turn those bad times into fuel to get me to where I need to be.
Powerful. when you get a moment, I say when you get a moment, but now you could just share your social media, your website, and everything.
Yeah. Else. Site is influenza.com, or my personal website is clintonsanko.com as well. And yeah, you can just follow me on anything on social media, whatever works best for you, but I'm Clinton Sanko, everywhere. So, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn, you go, you pick, what you like the most, but yeah, I'll also make sure that, I include a link, in this interview with Terrell to share with everyone listening today, to, you know, just to stay in touch and to, you know, if there's anything that I can help you with or provide value, I'd love to connect, with the listeners more and see if there's, you know, anything I can help you with.
My man, Clint, I really enjoyed you today, man. Thank you so much for taking time away from, you know, business, from the family at this moment, man, and devoting time to be on Inspire Before We Expire. Our listeners will surely, surely appreciate you guys. If you've been tuned in today, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and go on iTunes right now. Go on to Inspire Before We Expire and leave us a review. Tell us, please, what really stood out to you mostly from this interview with Mr. Clinton Sanko. And also, you know, what you, you know, like to learn more. You can reach out to him, message him. You know, like he said, you know, it's all about being a service and being valuable, you know, in a community, in a place. So I thank you guys for taking time out to listen, take notes, implement it to your life, and take action, most importantly. You know, because we all start from beginnings, and in the humble beginnings allow to, you know, new opportunities, new doors to be open, and things of that nature. So this is the Inspire Before We Expire people. That's my guy, Mr. Clinton Sanko. I'm Terrell Sumter. This is the Inspire Before We Expire community, and we're out. Woo! My man.